August 23rd, 2008, the Norris Group is hosting the event I Survived Real Estate 2008 at the Nixon Library in Yorba Linda, California. Proceeds from the event will benefit the Orange County affiliate of the Susan G. Komen for the Cure. The event seeks to bring together the real estate community, including realtors, auctioneers, investors, mortgage professionals, economists, data providers, and builders to discuss how we got here, how the respective industries are changing, and how we move forward and prosper together in 2008 and 2009. The event would not be possible without the generous help of the following partners: the San Diego Creative Investment Association and President Bill Tan, the Investors Workshops of Orange County and President Sean Watkins, Fry Wiles, the web development, internet marketing, and creative design firm, helping launch the event site iSurvive2008.com. Proxibid, who will be airing the event live over the internet for those unable to attend live. The Nixon Library. Our good friends at MVT Productions, who always take care of our audio-video needs. And White House Catering, whose master chef will be providing the three-course meal for this black tie event. The following radio interview is in preparation for the live event.
Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, this is Bruce Norris. Thank you for joining us. Today, our guest is Richard Lambros. He is the CEO of the Building Industry Association of Southern California. The BIA is a nonprofit trade association representing over 2,200 member companies involved in all aspects of the building industry in the six-county L.A. metropolitan area. In 2004, Mr. Lambros won the National Association of Home Builders Executive Officer of the Year Award. Richard, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
Recently, there was a meeting in Riverside to discuss the housing crisis, and you were quoted as saying, "We're not going through a slowdown, we're going through a shutdown." How bad is it out there?
Well, I wish I hadn't had to say that, but that's basically what it has felt like for a good part of the industry. It is bad out there, and for a couple of years now, leading up to probably 2006, late 2006, 2007, we had anticipated a slowdown, but the severity of the drop-off in numbers has really been much more than any of us expected. And you know, there's a lot of reasons for that I'm sure we'll get into, but we're off at 45% in permit activity in Southern California since 2005, and that was to 2007, and we'll probably be down significantly from there again this year.
Yes. How does this downturn differ from the ones in the past in the 80s and the 90s?
Well, you know, I wasn't personally as involved in certainly the 80s, the early 90s, I recall, and I would say the biggest difference that everyone points to is exactly what we just mentioned, the sort of severity of the downturn, as opposed to just managing through a slower period or a real reduction in your production. It feels in some areas, and of course each market is a little different story, but it feels in certain market areas as though demand has just gone away, and there's very little demand, and so it makes it hard to continue to do production. So it would probably be in terms of severity, and we'll have to see how we are on length, hopefully not as long. And each downturn, of course, has its own personality. You had base closures and recession and an S&L crisis in the early 90s, and this time you're dealing with a whole different set of facts surrounding, you know, credit and credit availability and housing downturn, gas prices. I mean, each scenario is different, which is, of course, why they're unpredictable.
That's correct. Would you say the speed of this one has really been one of the things that's been accelerated? The speed of the decline in price and the ending of a boom, just it was almost like it's on steroids, the end of it.
Absolutely, Bruce. And I would really harken back to about a year ago at this time. I would say it felt like the brakes were starting to get applied, certainly in late 06 and early 2007 was continual slowing. But we hit the subprime, sort of the discovery of that, and its impact was about March of 07. And then last year, August of 07, we had the really almost a complete credit meltdown when we dealt with the capital markets and the people no longer accepting secondary market paper, and just really credit became tight. And that is what I think has really sent things into a decline. And certainly we're starting to see some light at the end of the tunnel, but it's light coming mostly from riding out the downturn.
Would you say that financing then had probably the biggest impact on maybe the housing boom and then the end of that boom? The type of financing?
We've had a lot of talks here in the shop that it's almost like two crises in one. We started with the housing downturn. Certainly, you could argue it was more of the typical sort of housing cycle, the run up and then starting to cool down and then the tail off. And so it felt like the second crisis hit with credit and availability of money, and that absolutely felt like that was a second issue, which certainly exacerbated the first and has felt a bit like we almost have to solve that one before there's any possibility of recovering strength into the housing market across the board. And so we've made some good steps, I think. Certainly each morning you pick up the paper not knowing if you're going to get more bad news or some good news, but I think that some things we could point to on the optimistic side would be the federal legislation that just passed, H.R. 3221, the housing stimulus bill, which should shore up Freddie and Fannie a bit. It certainly will work to create a first-time home buyer program, which will help there. Certainly trying to stabilize credit markets and money to help with foreclosures. And I know there's aspects of that bill that were controversial, other aspects that I think were broadly accepted. But what it does do is offer perhaps some stability at this point in time when really we can't afford any continual downturn.
You know, that the H.R. 3221, what about that bill do you think especially helps out the building industry? There's a couple of things in there that I think are probably a direct hit to the builders industry as far as maybe first-time buyers getting a break.
Right, and I mean, there's a lot we could point to if we work with the theory we just talked about, that the credit crisis is part and parcel now of the housing crisis. So a lot of what it does to stabilize the capital markets, that's certainly important.
Do you think the loan amounts being raised for Fannie and Freddie, that's a real important step?
But yes, two things I would point to that are more specifically beneficial to not just builders but anyone in housing in California will be the increase in the conforming loan limit. That's been needed for years. We've been at levels that have been far below our median home price here in the state, and so much of our product in California for a number of years, especially in this last hot housing market, we just no one was doing an FHA loan because very little product qualified. Now with the conforming loan limits being raised, that's going to help significantly. It was raised through the end of the year and then raised again in this stimulus package. And then also I think the first-time home buyer's credit is something that can be very, very beneficial to California. Certainly when we look at the past downturn in the early 90s and some others, first-time home buyers bringing them back into the market is a critical way to recover strength in a slow housing market, and that's in part because first-time home buyers, they're sort of two things. They're credit newbies. There's no issues of past credit, which is very relevant to this market. There's no foreclosed home to clear. There's no credit problems. They're new, first time out. And second, there's no contingency. There's no home to sell to make the purchase of a new home. And so first-time home buyers should be able to move into the market at a growing rate, not only because of the price reductions we've seen, but now with the stimulus, that should help as well. And of course, as they come in, that will help stabilize things and should help to increase demand again.
I like that term, credit newbies. You know, credit got so easy in 2005 and 2006. In a way, I think we stole buyers from the future and allowed them to own a home in 2005 and 2006 when they may not have really matured into real buyers until 2008 and 2009. What do you think about that?
Well, Bruce, that's certainly something that a number of folks like yourself have said, and probably when everything is in the rearview mirror and we're able to do some analysis, they'll probably bear out to be true. I don't want to forget the reason why maybe we did that, and that's affordability. Certainly, at least for California, not to make excuses, but it isn't an excuse. It's a reality. We have had such unaffordable housing product in this state because of the cost of building, because of the cost of housing. I really think that what we did in this state was more we innovated around unaffordability through creative loan product. And so, yes, perhaps we put some folks in that couldn't afford it, but perhaps it also is just, I would probably argue as well that there's still an underlying affordability problem in this state. Obviously, as median home prices come down, one would argue, well, that's being addressed. But from the builder side, we see that some of the key components of that cost will come back as the market comes back, and there's still a pending issue that we're going to have to face at some point on how we manage to deliver more affordable housing in California.
I read once in a while that there is a supply shortage of housing in California, and it's on a very specific type of home. Is that not true?
Well, certainly, if you're talking about on the more affordable end.
Right. In other words, we got plenty of vacant homes, but we don't have maybe the right price range. Is that what you get at?
That's what I'm getting at.
Okay.
And obviously, as prices come down again, it's going to get more affordable. A lot of folks are going to be able to get into the market at someone else's expense, unfortunately, who's losing a home. But what I am saying is underlying factors of the fee load we put on new housing, land costs, taxes, some of those underlying factors are still there, and they will reemerge as the housing market starts to regain strength. So we're always challenged in this state to deliver a product that is easy for first-time homebuyers. And I guess the easiest stat to point to is that we usually trail about 10 points behind the national average in home ownership rate. So whereas the nation got up there at the peak here recently at around 70% home ownership, 70% of the population owning their own home, not being renters, California never quite broke 60%. So that's where I would point to the fact that as a state, we struggle with affordability.
I think the perception is that builders make lots of dough and they have big margins, and that's really not the case.
Well, it's an interesting question. It's two things. One, when you look at some of the stats that are out there on the publicly traded building companies, they're usually running a margin, and this is public record, from 5 to 8%. So it's not these big windfalls that people expect on product. But you add to that the risk, and certainly there are certain developments or housing projects where a company may make better than that average. But, you talk to builders in this market, guys who are losing their, property backed with personal loans, personally guaranteed loans, folks losing their homes. It is absolutely the development business, the real estate business here is often that risk-reward equation. There's great potential reward in good times, and there's certainly great risk in bad times. So it sort of comes with the territory, doesn't it?
Yes. The price declines really have taken away the margins that weren't all that great to begin with. And, of course, as the market improves, people have to continually buy land for more and more and more. So the margins remain consistent because the costs explode.
Mm-hmm.
Do the cities generally add fees during a boom? Do they think, okay, we can add some goodies for the city during those times?
Well, sure. It's an interesting case, and maybe just one bit of background. For those of us here in California, it may be a little different than the rest of the country. Just sparing your listeners all the details, there's just something we often call fiscalization of land use, which just really means that if you're the way we finance government in this state around property taxes, cities are really rewarded more for bringing in shopping centers and retail, the auto malls, anything that produces sales tax. And oftentimes they try to extract more in the way of fees out of non-sales tax producing land uses. So residential housing, being non-sales tax producing, oftentimes is a target for fees. Cities working from the premise that they need to extract more in fees to balance the books because cities don't get a big chunk of sales tax anymore property tax in this state.
Mm-hmm.
So they try to get more on the front end. And legitimately, there are certainly costs, and the building industry has always paid those costs and has always said we're more than willing to pay our fair share of costs, roads, parks, infrastructure. But we've seen some aggressive fee loads put on homes in recent years to the point where we've, it's not uncommon at all to have $50,000 to $70,000 in just the development impact fees on new housing. Certainly cities within the state where the fee load is well over $100,000 in fees. And, you look at that, that's more than the median price home in many parts of the country in the lower cost housing markets, and that's just the fee load. So that has happened. I certainly want to also give credit to cities in this downturn. We've seen a number of cities working with us to defer fees to certificate of occupancy, to work with us on some fee reduction. I think cities also recognize the economic benefit of a strong housing market, and they've been a number of them have been very supportive of us trying to keep the housing sector at least stabilized during this downturn.
Does a big budget deficit for California concern the building industry at all?
Sure. We always say that we're selling homes, but we're really also selling quality of life. And a strong state, strong cities, Strong budgets allow for a good quality of life, good education system, good parks, good infrastructure. So a downturn concerns us there. And, of course, the extrapolation of that is if the revenues aren't there in the budget, then we can become a target again, the building industry, for fees.
We're exactly. Often, that was kind of the point of my question.
I thought it was. Eventually got you there. But, yeah, it's of course, the industry has been. What we've liked about what we've seen this downturn, at least at the local government level, is not every city, but more cities, the majority, have been working with the industry, I think maybe learning some lessons from the past, where they did add fees even in a downturn, and it only slowed down the ability of the industry to rebound. We've seen more cities trying to actually work with us, some cities going so far as to actually adopt stimulus packages, economic stimulus packages that include some incentives to help the production of new housing. So that's very helpful. But, of course, as the state budget gets worse and cities' belts are tightened more, they'll be more hard-pressed to continue that sort of cooperative approach, and we hope that they do so.
Do you see any chance that they may take a second look at Prop 13?
Well, I suppose Prop 13 has always got a, I imagine that's always a topic of discussion in the legislative analysts department and the finance side of the governor's office, because it is a key cornerstone of how California is financed. And but of course, as you know, Bruce, anything on Prop 13 would require a vote of the electorate here in our state. And I certainly haven't seen any polling at this point saying that the citizens of California want to change their course on property tax.
No, I think that's now that you mentioned that, that's a pretty safe category, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Legislation, is that a big part of what the Builders Association has to be aware of, what the sentiment is and kind of the direction? Because there's a lot of talk about green building and net zero energy.
Sure.
How do those concepts affect, and if they get implemented, that would have quite a negative effect, I would think.
Sure. Well, starting with the first part of your question, a big part of what we do here at the Building Industry Association of Southern California is look at legislation on all levels, federal, state, and local. And we have great partners at the state level with our state association and the national level. That being said, any year, I think people who are not familiar with home building or, for that matter, any building might not realize just how regulated land development and construction is. It's a tremendously regulated industry. We like to joke that we're far more regulated than your heart surgeon, and it's true.
Mm-hmm.
And so the reality is that it has to be a part of doing business for this industry. You mentioned a couple of new environmental approaches, green building and the concept of zero net energy homes. There's been a big push in recent years on environmental legislation, especially in California. We are generally supportive of that. The problem is, as with anything, there's good legislation and there's bad legislation. There's some that is very practical and makes a lot of sense, and there's some that feels as though it has not been well thought out and certainly hard to make pencil.
That's the thing, that you might want to do something, but if there's really no room for it, it's hard to implement.
Well, that's true. And I mean, I guess the good news that I don't want to get lost in this is that California already builds the most environmentally friendly homes in the nation by code. We took a little bit of a different path than the rest of the country back in the late 70s when the energy first, I guess the first energy crisis, you might say, hit. Our state started to take a different look at how we build and how we consume electricity, natural gas, energy resources in our homes, as well as water and anything else. And we've made great strides to the point where our Title 24 standards regarding energy and home energy use are, again, far and away beyond anything else in the country. And so when we talk about raising the bar in California on construction, you're raising the bar from already being, number one in the nation. And so it gets to be a bit of a point where there is a diminishing returns. We've got a lot of energy efficiency in new homes, and there's still a lot of opportunity in some of our older homes and older structures. I guess, Bruce, the way we like to put it is, we're a little bit like the Prius, and nobody thinks of their homes like they do cars, where, newer models or might be different than older models. But in reality, today we're building Priuses that are very efficient on how they use energy. And we got to remember there's a lot of older product out there on the road, basically, like the old 70s gas guzzlers. And And those are where there may be a lot of opportunity for energy conservation in the state.
Richard, we know that the consumer is probably having a tougher time getting approved for financing. What's it like for a builder who would like to build a new project? How are their how are they looked at as a financial risk right now?
Well, it's tough out there, certainly, and as more banks struggle, many of them, because of their building portfolios, it just speaks to what's going on. There's a lot of caution, and builders are challenged to get financing at this point in time. Now, as the market shifts, as things start to level off, a lot of that challenge is the uncertainty. It becomes very challenging for builders and developers, and certainly for the lending institutions, to get a real fix on the true value of land and the true value of a project. But again, as things level off and more certainty comes into the market, we of course hope that starts to turn around. But we're in a window right now where certainly money is tight, and I imagine as things level off and bottom out here, and hopefully soon, we'll also see a whole lot of new capital come into the market, folks looking for opportunities that weren't there a few years ago. And so down the road here, I anticipate we'll see a whole number of new investors, but we're definitely in an interesting window at the moment.
I would think there would be opportunities for some builders that perhaps were more conservative to buy finished lots that may be below replacement cost. Do you see that happening?
Well, there's definitely what I hear, some bargains out there, and yes, there's, as with any downturn like this, you know, there's winners and losers. Unfortunately, again, some folks are taking big hits financially, but as that land or those, as you say, finished lots, already entitled, ready to build lots, come back on market at a reduced rate, someone is going to win in that scenario. So there are some bargain hunters already in the market, and as I said, we certainly anticipate more, especially when there's a even stronger sense of certainty as to where we are with the market.
When things are going well, let's say in 2005 and 2006, how seriously do builders take a projection of bad times ahead?
I think they take it seriously, and I think you're seeing some of that. If you go back, I think as we start to look at land purchases, inventory, how they were managing, I think they took it very seriously. I've noticed in this industry a very strong desire to learn from past economic downturns and any cycles that they can that can be looked at as a bellwether for future cycles.
Mm-hmm.
And so you saw some of that, and I think you saw more of that. Definitely inventory management, one of the big lessons from the early 90s, how products brought to market. And if anything, I think that you'll see two stories, those who sort of stopped purchasing at a certain point on the run-up and were very selective in where they bought land, and a few others who continued to bank on the cycle continuing. And so there are some winners and losers. I can't say that there's an across-the-board difference in the industry on land purchase and how they handled that, but certainly some learned the lesson and they're going to weather this downturn fine. Others, I think of the more broader change we saw in this market was, as I said, the inventory management.
What category of statistics do builders watch to give them advance warning of a boom that's now starting, to where they go, okay, things are now getting better?
Well, you know, I think we're going to be looking a lot at this point, we're going to be looking a lot at the broader economic numbers.
Okay.
I think there was a window period there when we just started to slow down where the economy remained strong, and that's the unfortunate thing. We had almost a year of really strong, broader economic numbers, but housing was down. Now, as the entire nation, you know, hiccups and California certainly suffering, I think it's the sort of the typical range of job growth, GDP, overall economic factors. Certainly on the housing side, they'll watch inventory, they'll watch home prices, sales numbers. But it's going to take some sense of strength coming back, I think, into the broader economy before you're going to see significant increases in housing production.
I think that's right. Richard, thank you so much for joining us. We're out of time. Richard Lambros with the Building Industry of Southern California, the CEO. And what's the website that we might be able to give people?
BIASC.org.
All right. Richard, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks, Bruce. Appreciate it.
All right.
Take care.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.